Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, coast to coast, border to border, around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Always great to catch up with Danny Cannell, former NFL quarterback, and he's here on behalf of BetOnline.net talking a little NCAA football. Danny, welcome back to the show. And, you know, it's so weird early on to have all these upsets, but in a way, I really like it. It makes it a lot more intriguing, especially what we saw out of the Sun Belt. What are you thinking so far?
Rick, I have loved the start to this football season. I think it's kind of similar to last year, which I think might have been one of the best college football regular seasons we had in 20 decades. And I think it's a direct result of all these new rules, the turnover on rosters, the transfer portal, NIL. There was a belief early on that the rich would get richer, you know, when Alabama's able to go and bring in Devontae Smith and have a Heisman Trophy winner from Ohio State and just, boom, off to the races. But I think what we're learning is that that's more the rare case. The more often example is a school like App State who plays, you know, doesn't lose a lot of transfers, who doesn't go get a lot of transfers. They play great team football together in the ultimate team sport, and they're able to go knock off a team like Texas A&M, who had the highest ranked recruiting class, who does have transfers galore across their roster, but they're new. They haven't played much together. So there is a way to minimize the talent gap, and it's by great coaching, it's by great effort, and it's by great togetherness, which is what I love about the parity we're seeing early.
You know, it's interesting. Last year, I went to a very early game at Cal, Nevada versus Cal. Carson Strong won that game, and everybody was saying he could be the number one overall pick. By the end of the year, he was an afterthought at the draft. So is that kind of a lesson that we don't want to get too hyped just yet?
Without question. That is something you always want to keep in mind early in the football season. I mean, look how much it's already happened already. Anthony Richardson, the quarterback at Florida, he beats Utah, looks pretty good, solid effort, and all of a sudden he's the second coming of Josh Allen or Cam Newton, and we're all like, man, this is a Heisman front runner. Then week two, he plays at home again against the Kentucky squad, and he looks awful. He throws his first touchdown of the season, except it's the Kentucky Wildcats, and they lose. So it is a long, arduous season. It is not a sprint. If it was, we would already crown several teams national champions who I don't think are going to be in that picture. So it is a reminder to just take everything with a grain of salt. Texas is a good example. I don't know what Texas is. I know they feel really good about their game against Bama, but I'm not ready to put them back at the top of the Big 12 just yet. Maybe Bama had their worst game of the season and Texas goes right back to where they were last year. I don't know. And I think every week you get more data points. We'll get more on Texas against UTSA this weekend. So you just got to kind of take every week with a grain of salt, start building up your resumes. And then as you know, as we look at these games, especially from a gambling standpoint, you start to look at, okay, what do I really know about this team versus what could be a facade and smoke and mirrors?
You know, speaking of the early hype, when you talk about Heisman odds, because the Heisman favorite last year ended up transferring. I remember doing these Heisman shows. It was Kyle Orton's to lose. It was Manti Te'o's to lose. So right now we look at Caleb Williams, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young. You think about that play against Texas. He gets sacked. Maybe that game is over. He gets out of it. Maybe that won him the Heisman. But for you, who do you like out of those three, or Stetson Bennett, somebody else?
Stetson Bennett is absolutely a name to keep an eye on. He's, you know, there's kind of been a formula, which I don't love, but with 900 Heisman voters, I do think there's a laziness involved with a lot of them that don't watch every single game. So it's the quarterback on the best team in the country with big numbers. Now, Stetson Bennett didn't have the big numbers last year, but early off this season, he's off to a pretty strong start statistically, putting up some big numbers. Georgia's not going anywhere. They'll probably run the regular season table and then have a massive matchup against Alabama, most likely in that SEC championship game. So I think Stetson Bennett's the name to keep an eye on. You mentioned Bryce Young. That was a Heisman moment if there ever was one. You know, the entirety of that drive, the throw he made to Jahmyr Gibbs, scrambling around. But here's what I think hurts him is he's won it already. Like, it's only happened one other time. Again, going back to the laziness of the Heisman voters, I think they always kind of fall in love with the shiny new toy. which is why I do kind of like Caleb Williams. What he's doing at USC is pretty phenomenal. It's a program that has been down and out, you know, traditional powerhouse, down and out. All of a sudden, they're off to a strong start. If USC is in the top 10, I don't think they have to make the playoff or be in the national title, but if they're 10-2 and Caleb Williams puts up monster numbers, I think it's his Heisman to lose because of the great story about, you know, LA bringing USC back to relevance. And statistically, he's probably going to be up the leader of almost every passing category, considering the weapons he's throwing to and the coach that he's playing for in Lincoln Riley, who always puts up, you know, just video game numbers.
No doubt. A couple more questions for Danny Cannell on courtesy of betonline.net. You mentioned the Dogs, the national champs, and we know they had 5 first-round picks off that defense, and yet, could they be better now than they were last year?
I don't think they are. I'm not willing to go there just yet. We still don't know what Oregon is. Now, the Oregon game was an absolute beatdown, but it was in their backyard. You were playing against the team in Oregon. First-year head coach, you know, very young head coach in Dan Lanning, who, of course, was the defensive coordinator at Georgia. Very young offensive coordinator, Kenny Dillingham. I think he's 32 years old. And Bo Nix, his first time in that system, playing with all new players. They did exactly what they needed to do. I think this weekend is actually going to be a pretty good test for the Georgia Bulldogs. They go on the road to South Carolina. I think this will be a better feel against an SEC opponent of what they're going to be throughout the season. I think they're going to win that game convincingly, but if they don't, I think it could show more blemishes for Georgia than we think. Again, Rick, it goes back to that, oh, we're christening teams, you know, players, not the Heisman Trophy winners. We give teams the national championship. It is still very early in the season, and Georgia still does have some holes to fill on that defensive side of the ball.
Oklahoma at Nebraska. Oklahoma favored, I don't know if they've ever been favored by 11 at Lincoln, but as someone who's been watching the Huskers since the 70s, this might be as down and out as I've ever seen him. Scott Frost wore out his welcome long ago. He's gone. How do you see this one going down?
I think this is going to be a really fun game. I kind of like Nebraska with those points. Mm-hmm. Because I think you're going to get – so last year, Gary Patterson was the head coach at TCU. The guy's a legend. He's got a statue out in front of the stadium. They were having an atrocious season, lost 3 in a row. It felt exactly like you just said, down and out, low for the program. They fired Gary Patterson. What do they do? The next week against Baylor, who was 12th in the country, they rally around an interim coach, and they get the outright win, and they knock off a top 15 team. I don't know if I'm willing to go that far with Nebraska, but I do think Nebraska will see an infused, a little bit of energy and positivity from the players. Oh my! And it's a wake-up call. There's a sense of urgency, like, whoa, this is serious. Our coach just got fired. I think he'll get their best effort. I think the fans have had this malaise, like, oh, Scott Frost, you know, we like him, but we keep losing these close games. They'll be infused with some fresh life. You know the Sea of Red is going to be packed, jam full of people there in Lincoln. And another team that really hasn't been tested yet is Oklahoma. Games against UTEP and Kent State. And meanwhile, Nebraska has been tested already 3 times. Now, they failed 2 of those tests, but they've been in fourth quarter games, and they've kind of felt what it's like to be in the cauldron. You can't say the same for Brett Medeville's squad yet. In a hostile environment in Nebraska, I'm very curious to see how they respond.
You know, one of the more interesting matchups in College Station, you mentioned A&M, Fisher, they're all stunned, their best recruiting class ever, like you said. They think they're ready to make the next step, of course, an SEC team. Miami comes to town, A&M giving 5. What do you think?
So I kind of like the Aggies here at home. I think this is the ultimate get-right game, and I also think they took App State way too lightly. I think that was one of those look-ahead games. They've had this game, this Miami game, circled on their calendar. They thought all they had to do was show up against App State. And clearly, we talked about the parity early. You can't do that. You have to get your energy up every single season, every single week for the opponent, or else you will get beat. It used to be you'd be scared till halftime, and then you could pull away. As teams are finding out, you can't let teams hang around. You've got to put them away early. Now they've got the Canes coming to town. I've seen reports that they're going to make the switch to Max Johnson, which I think is the best move for them. And then I think you'll see a heavy dose of A-Chain in the backfield. I think you'll see Anaya Smith get involved in the pass game. I think it'll still be conservative, but I think Texas A&M playing at home on the defensive and offensive line has the advantage against Miami, which is still Miami's been solid. They did have a really good win against Bethune-Cookman, but that's a traditional team that they should put 70 up on. Then they sputtered around with Southern Miss. I love Tyler Van Dyke, but I still think he's getting used to a new offensive coordinator. He's still getting used to his new wide receivers. Restrepo, one of their best, is not playing. So I actually like the Aggies laying the points here as the home favorite.
Yes, Tyler Van Dyke, 50-1 right now for the Heisman at betonline.net. Last question for you, Danny. Michigan State's at Washington, and I have just more of a question about the Pac-12 because I was speaking to Yogi Roth yesterday about the fate of the Pac-12 and whether they're going to go Fresno State, San Diego State, UNLV, whatever, when the LA schools leave. But he said, I feel great about the conference. We have the Bay Area, we have Seattle, we have Phoenix, we have Denver and all that. But for you, what do you think about the future of the Pac-12?
I know Yogi's a Pac-12 guy. He's great. He's one of the best. I'm concerned about the future of the conference. Mm-hmm. You know, losing your two biggest brands to the Big Ten, or arguably the two biggest, but I mean, it's your biggest market in L.A., that makes them vulnerable. And listen, I'm worried about the ACC with the TV contract they're locked in until 2036. Where does that leave them? But I think that what the Pac-12 needs to be really worried about is the Big 12 making a move for Utah, Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, bringing in four, then that knocks you down to only eight teams. What are you going to do then? You know, do you go, you know, gobble up some of the Mountain West? It's just from a branding standpoint, you really lose a lot of cachet. There's already kind of rumblings that Phil Knight at Oregon is, you know, trying desperately to get to the Big Ten. If you lose them, I worry about the future of the conference. From a health of college football standpoint, I would love to see the Pac-12 and Big 12 join up together and merge and, you know, see both conferences survive and who knows what the heck you call them. But I don't like all the movement, but there's so much money at stake. Unfortunately, money's been the driver that has killed a lot of tradition in college football as we morph into this minor league NFL.
No doubt about it. BetOnline.net. They got all the numbers. They got all the props, all the bets. We've been speaking with former NFL quarterback and now broadcaster Danny Cannell. Danny, great stuff, man. Love talking ball with you. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely, Rick. You have a great day and have a great day, weekend. Enjoying the game.
All right. You too. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break and we will come on back right here on Sports Byline.